This is Alt Mom. Oh, that was really loud. I feel like I peaked that. This is Alt Mom at the table.
I'm Jack.
I'm Gwenna.
Oh, I didn't get it that time.
You didn't get it that time. He tries to interrupt me when I do my own intros.
It's funny because it throws you off.
No, it does not. Okay. Arguing with me does. If you're new here, I exist on a bunch of other platforms as Mama Cusses. And so the question I get asked the most is, do you let your kids cuss? And the short answer is yes, but with boundaries. The long answer is,
what are those boundaries?
Longer. Yes, we let our kids cuss, kind of. Our littles don't get to say words that most people would consider bad. In our family, we really believe that there's no such thing as bad words. There's only bad intentions.
Yeah.
And that always kind of brings up a stop point. Well, what about the N word? Is that a bad word?
Yeah.
No, the N word is not a bad word.
Well, the word itself's not bad, but there's no way to use it without having bad intention.
Right. You can't say it and mean it nice. The R slur. There's lots of words. You thought of one when I said slurs. That one.
Yeah,
that's not one we can say nicely.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with a word. It's just a peculiar collection of letters.
Right.
That has come to represent something that just. There's no nice way to say it. So
every language, every culture has those words.
Right.
Right.
And they're different in English as they are in Russian. There are words that we would say in English that if a Russian were to say the Russian equivalent, people, doesn't matter. It's all words are peculiar arrangements of characters and phonetic sounds that we have added meaning to. Words only have the power we give them. So like, I am a Harry Potter fan. If you are a Harry Potter fan, you know that for the bulk of the first few books, the name Voldemort was just a no-no. It was always he who shall not be named.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say the name because just in saying the name, it's invoking this horrible thing that we're all scared of. And at some point, the dialogue, even in the book, kind of changes of why are we afraid of the word itself? There's no power other than what we give the word itself, right? And so a lot of the main characters switch to just saying the name Voldemort instead of using this coded language. We kind of approach things the same way. The line between can curse and cannot curse in the Lathlin household is understand or don't understand.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. If they understand the meaning of the word
and the history of the word to some extent,
degree,
I'm not breaking down the etymological history of the damn word, but
the word damn. I agreed. If it's and context matters too.
It does.
If they can understand the definition and understand the various contexts to use the word.
Right. Well, and.
Sometimes that's trial and error.
Right. And there's also a lot of intent. Yeah. I can call you an absolute shoebox. And if I'm aiming to hurt your feelings, none of those are cuss words, but I'm still being hurtful with my intent.
Right.
I'm still aiming to hurt your feelings.
Now, and on a societal level, you could call me that and I might be like, that's silly.
Right.
I may not actually be hurt by that, but your intention matters. And as far as the kids seeing that intention, that matters.
But that being said, I can walk up to my bestie and go, bitch, and mean it with the utmost love.
Right.
So that is typically a curse word that would get censored on most places that have to censor language. But I mean it with love. And it is a pet name. It is a term of endearment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all about intent. And we need to make sure that the kids can see the difference between meanly calling someone a shoebox and lovingly calling someone a bitch.
Right.
And when they can make that level of discernment, now we can discuss, sometimes a good God fucking damn it feels good. And even in that, there's the conversation that for people of a lot of Christian or Abrahamic faiths, the word God used incorrectly is a curse. And it's not to me. So the third and final kind of category of can you curse is, do you have the level of discernment to intentionally not do it if you know you're hurting someone's feelings by
or
using
other
words?
People uncomfortable? Yeah.
Right.
Well, an example of that, an easy example is, do we curse at grandma's house?
Right.
Generally, no. Or even better is, do we curse at Papa's house?
Papa's house.
He's,
right.
He's way more
conservative
Christian.
Yeah.
And is offended easily by those kinds of words.
Right.
So if the kids use those words especially,
right,
you would be offended by us.
Right. We would be in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily why we don't curse at pawpaws so mom and dad don't get a lecture, although we totally would.
It's just a matter, and truthfully, it's just a matter of respecting. It's his house, his rules.
Right. Right. And cursing in the classroom. A lot of times, in order to exhibit crowd control, inflammatory words or words that will get kids riled up they won't be allowed,
yeah,
right? So if the rule in the space is no cursing, then you have the wherewithal to not intentionally curse. Now, if you drop a heavy book on your foot and a shit escapes, that's one thing. And I doubt most discerning adults would waggle a finger at that.
Especially if they heard or saw the book fall.
Right.
Yeah.
So yes, we let our kids curse, but they have to understand the meaning of the words. They have to understand their own intent and the impact their words can have. And they have to be able to discern when is a good time to curse and when is a not good time to curse.
Right, right.
So we let Abby kind of hit that point somewhere around the age of 9 or 10 where we're like, yeah, no, we're not going to say, you know, those are grown up words for grown up mouths. We're currently in the phase with the littles where we say that phrase a lot because they hear us, they'll copy us, sometimes situationally appropriate. The girl child accidentally broke off a Barbie arm and it pops off. Like, it's really easy to pop off and it just pops back on. It's part of how the Barbie works. But she accidentally broke it off and went, damn it. I was like, grown up words for grown up mouths, baby doll. She used it correctly, and props to that, but she is missing the discernment part and the intent part.
Yeah.
So she is not allowed to curse yet. I don't think she even knows what the word damn it means, and she's 3. We're not there yet.
No. At this point, it's just something she's heard.
But with the eldest, she was allowed to curse somewhere around 9 or 10. She really didn't start incorporating those into her vocabulary until within the last couple of years. 13, 14 years old is when she kind of felt comfortable using those. I don't know if that was just around us, or if, did you curse more at school, but not around us? You just kind of, okay. She's nodding her head yes. That, yes, she cursed at school, but just.
Or probably a better way of putting it is she was more open with her friends.
With her friends than her parents. And that's reasonable. Like, my feelings they're not hurt there.
Yeah.
I did that shit constantly.
Well, and that was another one of those things where it was kind of a decision we made as a unit that we neither of us had really considered beforehand.
Right.
And so I'm sure she was more or less raised, at least when you had her alone, and your mother was a big part of the picture of, we just don't curse.
Right. Well, no. I mean, I've always had the no such thing as bad words idea. It's just that there really was an opportunity because, yeah, we did spend some time. We were around my mom a lot because I was a single mom and she was kind of my support network.
Yeah.
We had that. It's just, it really wasn't a concern because she really only got to the point that we could check off those 3 boxes of understanding, discernment, and intent about the time you entered the picture. That was really the first time. And we'll repeat that here in just a sec. When the littles get a little older, we can really kind of start deciding, have they met those 3 qualifications to begin using?
What I seem to remember with her was when we first told her the idea of being able to use curse words,
uh-huh,
she was upset by it.
She's like,
she did not want to.
I would never.
She truly believed that almost like it was a setup.
I'm pretty sure that was involvement from my mom.
Maybe
my mom is more like your dad in that, you know, value wise, she's a little more conservative, that definitely more conservative than I am as far as her values go. Faith is still really important to her, just like your dad. Yeah, I feel like that was probably a strong influence because I have always been this fucking vulgar.
Yeah.
Much to my mom's dismay. But I was also at a stage there where I wasn't cursing in front of my mom, not because I was going to say not because I was scared of my mom, but no, that's exactly why I didn't curse in front of my mom. I was scared of my mom and I didn't want her to lecture me, even as a 20-something knocking on the door of 30s. I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So I just kept my mouth shut.
Now,
fuck it.
Yeah, I used curse words ad nauseum as a late teen.
Yeah.
And that never stopped. But I did notice when I was around friends' kids.
Yeah.
I chose to censor myself. And part of that was
because I am terrible at that.
I didn't want to be a bad influence to them.
I am awful at self-censoring, even around other people's kids. I cursed in front of the pastor's wife one time.
Yeah.
Pastor of a large church here in the city. We live in the town we live in. We were sitting there having a conversation. I think not only that, but to the pastor's wife, to their faith is very important to them. I think I dropped a God damn it. So I violated a commandment and cursed, and I'm so good at this English thing.
which is
being
hilarious
respectful.
Because
my
that's
own rules.
That's your I was gonna
my
say that's
own
your
own rules. Anyway, the double standards are things that parents get. No, that's bad.
That's not even parents at this point having that double standard. That's my
ADHD brain going, I am absolutely not gonna.
That too, and you tend to get lost in conversation as far as when you get into the conversation.
I do. I forget who I'm with.
Yeah.
And my mouth moves faster than my brain sometimes, and that's where I get myself in trouble. Like, my brain thinks of words, my mouth's like, okay, go, spit those out. And then my brain's like, wait, we should rethink. And then it's too late. They're already gone. They have exited the mouth hole. I'm guilty of that a lot. I have been trying to self-censor with the littles a lot more because they start big kid school in August, and they're exiting the parody stage, the parrot, like a bird.
Parroting you. Yeah.
Parroting me. They're exiting that stage, but they're still a little bit there.
Yeah.
Within the next year or two, we're no longer directly copying our parents at all times. We're now beginning to form individual communication structures. And especially since both of them will get good speech therapy in big kid school. So are you mentally preparing yourself for the phone calls?
In regards to their cursing?
Yeah.
No.
I'm mentally preparing myself for at least one phone call between August and December. So the boy child, he used a special word today in front of the whole class. It starts with F and rhymes with duck.
Here's the thing is I'm not concerned about it because we haven't made it a big deal.
Yeah.
We've kind of taken the mystery away from it.
Right.
So, and he typically doesn't use words like that anyway.
No, the girl child.
She's more prone to it.
The girl child is more prone to it. And the girl child at the moment, which is weird because it's a role swap for us.
Yeah.
The boy child was far more speech delayed, but he qualified for services. So he's been in speech therapy for 2 years. The girl child did not qualify for services at a very young age. So she hasn't gotten any. So his speech has advanced past hers. Now she is slightly more delayed than he is. So she's got this pair of glittery light up shoes. She calls them her sparkle shoes, but she can't say the word sparkle correctly. So those are her fuckle shoes.
Yeah, fuckle shoes.
And no one is allowed to tell her anything different. We do not correct that word. I'm aware that as a parent, I'm supposed to correct that speech impediment, making sparkle turn into fuckle. But fuck you, fuckle is adorable. They're fuckle shoes. Fuck
you. Not only is it funny, but it's genuinely, it's the SP
yeah.
like sound
it's
at the beginning
just,
of the word.
It's a
just
hard,
something she
and then the R,
yeah.
She doesn't have her R's, but the R sound is just hard. And so it turns into fuckle shoes, and it's adorable, and it makes the 13-year-old in my head just so fucking happy.
Well, there's so many little things they say that they don't say correctly like that, which is why
banana.
Yeah, instead of banana.
Which
he started, huh?
That's not a curse word. But.
No, but it's just as far as I don't suspect they're going to have a lot of teachers that, especially knowing if they have.
You know what is a non-traditional curse word in our household right now?
Non-traditional?
Yeah.
What's that?
As in, the girl child weaponizes this one a lot. You're not my best friend. She is aiming to wound, stab to the
core.
You're not my
best friend. It's the look in her face too when
she
says
that. You're not my best friend.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool story, bro. I'm your mom. Put your shoes on. Get the fuckle shoes on.
I didn't think it meant anything for a while, but her brother actually got upset by that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the
he took that
fighting
personally.
Words.
Yeah.
You're not my best friend anymore. But again, that's a matter of we're discussing intent we're discussing discernment.
Yeah.
If you're aiming to hurt, you don't need curse words to do that.
Right.
So do we let our kids curse? Yes. The oldest one has the language palette of a sailor, and she uses it liberally. And we have many times had to remind her, hey, did you remember whose house you're standing in? Is that the language you intended to use, or did that just slip out? And she's really good about self-correcting and communicating differently when she remembers or something slips. The littles, they don't get to curse yet. Not because words are bad, just because they're not big enough to handle everything that those words are.
Yeah, they're not developed enough to understand discernment, period.
Right, right. Or meaning.
Yeah.
So, again, we can't say the word sparkle without making mom giggle like an idiot.
And admittedly, every now and then, I'll try to get her to explain that to one of my parents. I go, show them all your shoes. Tell her what kind of shoes they are.
Tell her what shoes you've got. But your mom is like me and would find that adorable hilarious.
She thinks it's hysterical.
She also
raised three boys, and you know all three of us.
Yes.
So there was no amount of anything she would have gotten upset with us over to see the little ones do it now. Makes
so
her laugh.
Your mom is June Cleaver. With skulls and like a machete.
She will literally meet you at the door with a batch of cookies and milk and turn around and you'll see the skull on her leather jacket.
Right, kind of thing, yeah. Right. Like she married a biker. She's gone on cross country bike rides. So she has a much higher tolerance. She does not bat an eyelash. She doesn't use the words herself.
Not often.
Yeah. And typically when she does, it's only directed at her husband, at your stepdad.
Yeah.
In fact, the first time I ever heard her curse, we'd been together for like 6 years. And the first time I ever heard her curse was your stepdad was being particularly difficult. She turned around and she slammed her hand on the counter. She goes, "You jackass, make a choice." Because he wouldn't tell her what he wanted. He was messing with her. She got pissed off.
That sounds like her.
I almost died. I'd never heard her curse before. Now, you guys curse freely in front of her, but I just never heard her reciprocate. So when she turned around and called your stepdad, "You jackass!"
All my buddies, hell, even into adulthood, loved my mother.
Yeah.
For that same reason.
Yeah.
Like,
The first time I met her, you described her as June Cleaver with a thing for skulls.
Yeah.
She will attempt to feed you. We walked in. She was literally holding a clear pitcher of milk and a plate of cookies.
Yeah.
The very first time I ever met, because she knew that Abby was coming with us.
Yep.
So she made fresh cookies for a new, and she knew at the time.
Nothing makes a kid more comfortable in a person's house than milk and cookies.
Right.
Homemade, fresh-made cookies. Yeah.
Yeah. She brought us milk and cookies the very first time we met your mom because... And she admitted this then. The language you were using describing me, she knew that Abby was going to be a grandbaby. So she just swapped into grandma role. She knew that that little girl that she was about to meet was going to be one of her grandbabies.
Yeah.
Because of how you talked about us.
Right.
When you suggested bringing us over. So.
Makes sense.
Anyway. Yes, we let our kids curse. Kinda.
Fuck.
This has been a production of Pleasant Peasant Media. For questions, suggestions, professions of adoration, or to discuss sponsorship opportunities, email info@pleasantpeasantmedia.com. This is Honest Mom Commercials. When my toddler was ready to potty train, I was so excited to ditch diapers. Thanks to pull-ups, I got to enjoy the illusion of saying so long to diapers without actually doing that. You see, pull-ups are made of the same super absorbent material and burlap sack-like paper cloth as diapers. They literally do the same thing as a diaper, catching and holding pee and poop close to your go-go-go toddler's buttocks. Unlike diapers, though, they don't have a sticky tab closure. Instead, they use this nebulously reliable Velcro-like substance. And just like real big kid undies, they're stretchy. Kinda. But here's the best part. Your kiddo will love pulling them on like real undies and insist on doing it for every change. So now, instead of just pulling their pants down to the ankle and swapping out a dirty pee bag in a jiffy, you'll have to fully undress your toddler, shoes and all. And they likely won't change their potty habits at all. Because they look, feel, and act like regular diapers, your precious power pottier will just keep peeing and pooping themselves like it's their job. This means you'll probably still end up having to let them ruin several pairs of pants, a few rugs, and maybe even a couch or two by letting them run wild with no bottoms on at all. Pull-ups, they're just more expensive diapers. Hi.
Alt Dad.
At the table.
At the table.
Was that, what did you do in the Batman voice?
Was that the Batman voice?
That was the Batman voice.
At the table. I'm Alt Dad.
Why does he have a lisp?
Well, because Christian Bale kind of had a lisp in the Dark Knight series.
Anyway, this is Alt Dad at the table. I'm Gwenna.
I'm apparently Jack.
Or Batman, one of the two. We don't know. let's just continue watching and see how this develops. So we just got back from the Texas area.
Tejas, yes.
Tejas. And so let's start here. So all parents are any parents that choose to raise their children in an alternative fashion to how they were raised, right?
That seems right, yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to be alt-looking or alt-acting or alt-living to be an alt parent. We, however, are both. I have astroturf for hair, and you look like you got kicked out of a biker gang.
Or I didn't pass the initiation, one of the two. Yeah, could be either way.
He couldn't stand his bike up by himself, and that's what got him kicked out.
It's weak knees. Come on now.
It's just damn weak knees. So we are both. And there are thriving alt communities and human beings who live in Texas who also would dye their hair like AstroTurf or grow big bushy goatees and wear earrings in places that, you know, are not classic positions for earrings.
Like that.
You've got your earlobe stretched. I've got mine stretched. There's actual holes back there. But wherever the alt people are in Texas are not where we were in Texas.
No, it was pretty vanilla where we were.
It was
as
yeah.
far as
just the areas that we ended up in.
Now I will say lots of big trucks.
Yes.
There is that, so, but that's kind of a staple in Texas.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't really leave the I-35 corridor, so just massive shipping lanes. So you did fit in with a trucker crowd at least once.
At least once.
I, however, did not, and I very much felt my altness, and I've noticed that more and more as I've gotten older. I am in my 20s when I would do this shit. I didn't notice, or I thrived off the Karen attention.
Yeah,
I thrived off the negative energy. Now I'm like, there are times when I'm like, man, fuck it. If you don't like it, don't do it to your head. There are other times that I'm like, should I wear a wig in public? Like, I just don't have the mental energy to deal with the judgment today.
I think for me, it's making a decision of whether I want to deal with the attention or not.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think I get a little bit more of a pass because where we're at and where we were just at.
Yeah.
The big goatee, the biker look. Essentially, I look like a guy that works at a mechanic shop, frankly.
Right.
And I did.
Yeah.
So it I get a little bit of a pass because my altness, I may not look like my father.
Yeah.
Who is very preppy.
Yeah.
Polos.
Like polos. Cons- yeah. I don't think he owns any shirt that is not a polo.
At this point,
his
no.
His pajamas are polo shirts.
Yeah.
He wears. Which I love my father-in-law, but he is the epitome of WASP.
Well, yes, he
white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That is my father-in-law.
Like with the polos, he's also got the khaki shorts, whereas I'm wearing, you know,
you've got cargo jorts.
I've got cargo, like Pantera cargo shorts. Yeah,
we were in the store the other day, and I saw you eyeballing those Jenko shorts. I watched you look at it several times. You were seriously considering the Jenko shorts.
Yeah,
the ones that only have like 2 inches of ankle showing.
Right.
Scandalous ankle.
Oh yeah.
You were eyeballing them. So like the altness is still there.
Are those even considered shorts at that point? Are they more like what? what is it called, where you've got like pants.
Cargo pants. They're cargo pants.
Essentially,
no.
But they're like bell bottoms or they're.
High waters.
I'm not sure what they'd be called.
They're high waters. Yeah.
You don't walk on them, but they don't exactly.
Can you imagine trying to tight roll JNCOs?
No. Who would do that?
I don't know. Your brother.
He would never own JNCOs, so.
That's true.
That's from my skater days back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
With the Vans or the Airwalks, whichever one you could afford.
Yeah.
And then whatever
the Vans or the Airwalks. That was the socioeconomic division between the rich punk kids and the poor punk kids. Did you wear Vans or Airwalks?
Or Chucks. Chucks were like,
well,
universally
Chucks
accepted,
universal.
But they were also the cheapest of the, right. the options. So
I was the Chucks kid.
Yeah. I had Chucks. I think I don't even remember. I got a pair of Vans at some point. I don't even remember if that was the cheapy.
I don't know what's wrong with my feet, but my feet do not fit comfortably in Vans, and it makes me so sad. Like,
mine
still
don't now.
To this day, I can't wear Vans. They're either too wide or they're too narrow. Like, there's no middle ground that feels comfy.
Yeah.
If they're wide enough for my foot, they're like 2 inches too long. Sidebar. So with the altness, as I am 38, you are 40.
Yeah.
Do you feel yourself drifting further and further away from the altness, or is it still just a daily battle?
You know what I think it is for me, honestly, is I've stopped allowing that to be something that defines me.
Yeah.
Because when I was younger, that was important.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted everybody to know I was not mainstream.
I was not mainstream. Yeah. I am making my own choices and looking like everyone else who is making their own choices.
Even with her goth phase, and I joke about this often, but I was so counterculture that I joined a different culture. Like I was so against being a part of a fad or the trends that I simply just moved to a different trend that was less acceptable.
Well, and I had a period there in my 30s, right before and after the littles were born, that I tried so hard to make myself fit into the defined categories of live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
And this is no shade on the live, laugh, love crowd. I call them the L3 crowd. I don't hate them. I don't despise them. I love that for them. But I had the lace cardigans and the boots up to your knees and the skinny jeans and the infinity scarves and the weird balayage bang thing. I'm probably not even saying all those words correctly. I did that. I rocked it and I tried so hard, and it was more effort to fall into the crowd that is honestly the most popular kind of fashion and style and attitude in our area.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk into little boutiques here and everything has leopard print. Everything like is incorrectly hashtagged. Like hashtag salt life. We live in a landlocked state, y'all. What the hell are you talking about salt life? There's no salt here. We have freshwater lakes that we made. But it was so much more effort to fit into that crowd that I ended up just giving up and going, you know what? I want my hair pink or green or purple or all of those at the same time.
I experienced the same thing in high school, actually, for me. So my father, I lived with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, especially before I got a job,
by
the time I was 16, he paid for all my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Means he also picked out my clothes.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice in that. So I looked like a mini version of him.
Yeah.
And then I get into high school, I get a job.
Do you have penny loafers?
I did. I didn't wear them.
With the penny?
I don't remember if they...
That, anyway.
They were his. They were hand-me-downs from him. So.
Ooh, even better. Penny loafers of a 40-year-old man.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, money was tight.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge him doing that. But he was also trying to convince me that you can still look good.
Yeah.
And like wear something respectable.
Did you get the son, it's time you grow up lecture?
I got that all the time. Yeah.
Do you still get it now?
No. I think I crossed that bridge. So when I did get a job and I was able to save up my own money, I just started buying my own clothes. And that's when the JNCOs and the Vans and stuff started coming in. The band t-shirts. Of course, he was not a fan of that. And my dad is still a very religious guy. So I had to go to church.
Yeah.
And I had to dress respectfully for church. There were no jeans in church. I had a cheap suit.
Yeah.
With like the sport jacket and everything.
Shoulder pads?
I don't remember if it had shoulder pads or not. It probably did.
I had a power suit that had shoulder pads.
I know his did. Which he already is a got giant shoulders. I don't know why he had pads for him, but
because it was the 90s, dude.
Everybody had shoulder pads.
It was the 90s.
Yeah, he looked like a linebacker for the Cowboys. So, but as far as what I wore to school and outside with my friends and stuff, it was mine. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it was pushback against my dad.
Yeah. I think that's where most alt fashions and alt attitudes start, is pushing back against the first man we have to push back against, and it's our parents.
Yeah. The man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yours was a literal man. Mine mine was a woman, but mine was my mom.
When and if
man, my mom sucked the wind right out of my sails. Your dad hated it. My mom was like, well, if you're gonna do it right. Damn it, mom.
I'm not saying this happens to everybody, but I've seen a common theme that a lot of times people who choose to go alt as far as style and lifestyle, oftentimes have conservative parents.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that happens with everybody,
right,
but where we grew up, that's absolutely true.
Right.
And that's the case with my parents. So there was
mine too.
And when I say conservative, I just mean like we talked about, the way
socially conservative.
Yeah.
We're not making political statements of our parents' political beliefs. Just
The way they dressed and all that stuff. And I think I pushed back against that. It was the same thing with any authority figure at school. They all dressed like my dad because they were all his age.
Right.
So, but that being said, I was also a sports guy.
But why in your 40s are you still doing it?
I think now it's out of comfort.
Yeah.
But what I was getting at was even then, I still had to fit into multiple crowds.
Uh-huh.
So I was an athlete.
Yeah.
I played multiple sports. I had the band friends, as a musician, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, all these other groups.
All the other groups, and I had friends in all of them, so I kind of clicked with everybody.
Right.
But there was definitely like a preppy group.
Yeah.
I could just as easily have joined them.
Right.
And I don't think I would have lost any friends from the other groups. Maybe I would have. I don't know. We were in a weird.
The clique culture is it's finicky.
It's not the same as it used to be, I don't think.
I don't think so.
And when I was in high school, that was right at the shift of mentality toward that. So
right, the internet was just rising,
right.
And the internet has definitely kind of shaped clique culture. But so again, so as a high schooler, you kind of made that choice because you were rebelling against your parents.
In a sense, but it got comfortable.
Yeah.
I really didn't even start rebelling in high school. I technically started rebelling in middle school when I started listening to music.
Yeah.
I think music had a big impact on the type of clothing and the attitude I had.
Well, and you still listen to not just metal, that's way more accepted than it's not as demonized as it was in the 90s and 2000s. But even now, you listen to really experimental stuff.
Like progressive, prog rock, prog metal.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like it. And I've got pretty wide range of tastes. I'm like, oh, look, we're back to this band.
That's honestly less about being alt and more about ruining my taste in music by being a musician.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So I don't know why I continue to choose this, because there are times, like in Tejas, I was not comfortable and it wasn't. It's not something I've experienced in a long time, being kind of self-conscious about how I was presenting myself. And it kind of threw me into this, like asking hard questions like, okay, if I'm getting to a point where I feel like maybe this isn't what I want to do anymore, why am I still doing it? Why do I still end up reverting? Every time I try to grow my hair out, I end up doing something even more extreme.
What's funny to ask yourself that question, because I ask myself the same thing. So, okay. If I go out into public, first of all, you know I'm not extroverted.
No.
I'm introverted.
Right.
I don't want encounters.
Right.
I don't want to talk to people.
I don't want to be perceived.
Yet.
Do not perceive me.
Yeah. I don't want to be noticed. And yet I wear clothing and style that draws attention to me.
Right.
Why in the world would I do that if I don't want to be, if nothing else, if I don't want to be noticed, I would try to dress like everyone else.
Wear the polos.
Yeah.
And the khaki shorts and the huaraches. You would do actually own huaraches.
You own huaraches. They're awesome.
They're not. So wear all that. Look like Jeff Bezos.
I got to work out to do that.
Look like Jeff Bezos, and yeah, you'll be less likely to be noticed. I, on the other hand, am an attention whore. But there are times when I'm like, I don't have time for the attention. I just want to go in and get my gallon of skim milk and leave.
Well, and like being on a vacation and wanting to spend time with your kids, you want to be able to switch that off. but you can't because your image doesn't allow you to.
Right. And even if no one noticed Mama Cusses or Gwenna or, you know, I didn't have a lot of people who were fans and came up to me, which I don't mind when that happens, but I just didn't have a lot of those and I still felt very self-conscious. And all of a sudden, for really the first time in probably a decade, I was like, why am I uncomfortable with how I chose to present myself? Did it mean I chose wrong or am I just outgrowing it? Can you outgrow altness? And then I look at, you know, there are a lot of James Hetfield still looks like James Hetfield from Metallica.
Yeah, but you look at the other members of the band and Kirk Hammett, when he's in public, does not look like the lead guitarist for Metallica.
Right.
He does not dress like in all leathers and...
Well, even Gene Simmons, as he aged, he got more and more...
Well, he went to the power suit.
Yeah, yeah.
That became his public thing.
And yeah, I mean, his face is pretty recognizable even outside the makeup. And Lord forbid he open his mouth and show his tongue, then everybody knows who he is. But yeah, like he went a little more mainstream and he would turn it on and off. And I don't know if that is... just how it works for all old people, like through your 20s and 30s, it's, oh, look at me being so counterculture. And then as you're exiting your 30s into your 40s and 50s, like, you know what? I will choose when I look like this. Thank you.
For me, I think the best example of somebody living in both worlds, and I know this is not going to be well known, but some of our fans will know, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. You've heard of the band Nine Inch Nails. In the 90s and 2000s, Nine Inch Nails was like Tool. It was the underground band.
Yeah.
It was all about counterculture.
Right.
Today, if you run into Trent Reznor, who still tours as Nine Inch Nails,
right,
you'll see him in a $10,000 suit with loafers on.
Yeah.
And he's buff.
Yeah.
He cut his hair. He does not. He looks like a businessman.
See,
But when he gets on stage,
he's still Trent Reznor with Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, and I don't wonder if that's where my uncomfortableness was, is I can be more than one thing. I am always an alt mom in how I'm raising my kids, but I can choose when to look alternative. And it's still kind of the same attitude. It's the same ideology of, yeah, my tattoos are permanent, and I have never actually felt shame about my hand tattoos. I want to get a neck tattoo. A neck tattoo. I just don't know what I want. I mean, it's not going to go away. I'll just keep adding to that. That's fine. But then I also took out my nose piercing, not because I was, you know, getting flack for the nose piercing. It was just literally annoying me.
Right.
Like, when I dry my face off, I'd snag it with a towel and it would pull out.
I did the same with my eyebrow piercing.
Like, I liked the look. I still like the look. I miss it, but I really don't miss having to wash around it and pull it out. And yeah, I just, the effort of the altness is beginning to wear on me, I think.
Well, there comes a certain point, and I don't begrudge people for their choices. As I get older,
the live, laugh, love crowd, man, they're looking more and more appealing.
What? Not to me. That's not saying that.
No,
You doing live, laugh, love doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
But as far as my own personal style, I cannot seem to separate myself from the music and attitude that I grew up with.
Yeah.
I really think that art and music, art and culture, really do kind of help define and shape us as far as how we present ourselves.
Well, see, and I think maybe that's my experience. I think that's why I'm so kind of pliable, is because I conscientiously abstained from pop culture and mainstream music when I was a teenager because at the time, my religious beliefs compelled me to a different path. Now, I've since asked good questions and had good conversations with myself and with experts, with people from all sides of the table to kind of hone in what it is I believe and why I believe that. But at the time, I was a super Christian in my teens. And so I wore shirts from this company called Mardell that sold all Jesus shirts. I only listened to Christian rock. And so I kind of missed those formative years in my teens and kind of had to fish through it in my 20s once I started asking really good questions about my own faith. So I kind of missed those transformation years that still influence you now.
Yeah.
I didn't, and maybe that's why I'm so wishy-washy, where sometimes the live, laugh, love vibe appeals to me and other times, fuck you.
I think that's what's changed for me, is I was willing to make decisions about all things based on, at the time when I was younger, my perception of things. So I could do something that was alt for the sake of being alt.
Right.
Put it that way.
Right.
I didn't
wear the schmeared eyeliner because I thought it looked cool. I thought it would piss people off. That's why I wore the schmeared eyeliner.
Right. It's that same kind of thing. And then I've gotten older, and now in my 40s, I think I've gotten wiser and more patient.
What? More patient, maybe wiser.
I was when I was 16. Yes. But I think in my elder wisdom, I've gotten to a point where I no longer do things.
Only 40-year-olds use words like elder.
I no longer do things for the sake of being alternative.
Right.
I actually think them through.
Right. Like, if it's alternative, fine, but that's not why you're doing it. If it's mainstream, fine, but that's not why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference, is I'm just now beginning to question, why am I still dyeing my hair green? And I'm not saying I'm going to stop dyeing my hair green, because I have in fact sat with that. And the fact is it's just fun. It scratches an ADHD itch in my brain to change stuff constantly.
It also applies to your attention seeking behavior.
Sure. No,
and
I genuinely
that's a part of
again,
it.
Again, we've already covered it. I'm going to reiterate. Yeah. I'm an attention whore.
Yeah.
It's why I do what I do. It's not why I do what I do, but it enables me to do what I do. Because I do like all eyes on me. Thank you, Bo.
Right.
So, okay. Well, anyway, come back next week. We might be in power suits and polos. I don't know.
I can't bring myself to spend any money on that stuff. Bye.
This has been a production of Pleasant Peasant Media. For questions, suggestions, professions of adoration, or to discuss sponsorship opportunities, email info@pleasantpeasantmedia.com.